It is so good to be with you again this Sunday morning, as it is each Sunday morning at this same time, and we count it a privilege to come into your homes and to spend this half hour with you. If you have your Bibles now, as we continue our survey through the Gospel of John, we're over here now as we continue in chapter 15 of the Gospel of John. John chapter 15. Now, as we begin, we find out here, we'll give you just a little bit of information here that we believe might suffice in helping to understand this chapter. First of all, we have in this chapter here the believer bearing fruit. Now, this is a contrast here between the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the believer, and we believe this is important that it should be understood. Now, over in Galatians, we'd like for you just real fast to hold your place here and to go with us here over to the book of Galatians, if you will, and we're over here in chapter 5, the book of Galatians, and we're here in chapter 5, and take a look at this just a second before we proceed here in John chapter 15. Remember again, there is a difference now between the fruit of the believer and the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the believer that we're going to find here in John chapter 15 is believers winning other people to Christ. That is, when you see an orange tree, it bears fruit. It will bear an orange, and that seed of an orange will bear another orange tree, and it will produce fruit. That is the fruit of the believer that we're going to see here in John chapter 15. But then we find the contrast here, and we're just pointing this out so that you make a differentiation between it here. In Galatians chapter 5, notice here, if you will, in verse 22, here we have the peace, or I should say, the fruit of the Spirit. Now notice in verse 22 of Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is, this is inwardly now, which will be shown through our actions and so forth, the fruit of the Spirit. It is love, it is joy, it is peace, it is long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions of the lust, and if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. So if we are controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, and we are commanded in Ephesians to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, which means controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, if you are a believer, you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we find the Word of God teaches the Holy Spirit of God is planted within you. It is that Holy Spirit that convicts you. It is that Holy Spirit that makes you feel guilty when you're doing things that God does not want you to do, that are dishonoring unto Christ. And it is that Holy Spirit, when we listen to the Word of God, as we study the Bible daily, the Holy Spirit is the convicting person who will convict us and lead us to do what He wants us to do according to the Word. Then, if we yield to the Holy Spirit and say, yes, I'll do that because I know God wants me to do it, then we produce the fruit of the Spirit, and that is love. One person said, how in the world can I love that person who is just so hateful and just so sarcastic? Well, you have to ask God to give you that love. You have to ask God to give you what you do not have by the old nature. And then by praying and asking the Lord to do those things, that will produce. And then you begin to yield to the Holy Spirit and love those that despitefully use you. And we find here that this is what this is talking about. Now, we're not going to say any more on that because we're not over in Galatians, but we just wanted to point this out so that you understand the difference now between the fruit of the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit trying to live the life of Christ through you as you yield and do what the Word of God says as convicted by the Holy Spirit. Now we come over here to John chapter 15, and we find out here that this is the fruit of the believer, something entirely different now. Okay, let us begin here, if you will, in verse 1. I am the true vine, that's Christ, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me, now that is believers. You might underline this in your Bible. Every branch in me, that identifies them as believers, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may be found, or may bring forth, more fruit. So we find out here, there is in verse 1 and 2, more fruit. We find out in verse 5, there is much fruit. And we also find in verse 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so ye shall be my disciples." Now, this is not speaking about losing your salvation. It's speaking about having the joy of your salvation and how you can have that joy. Notice on down here, if you will, in verse 11, and then we'll go back and get the particularities of the chapter here. In verse 11, "The Lord said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." The only way a Christian can have the true and the real joy is by winning other people to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only way. Now, let us go back and find out what God is going to do with the Christian who is leading people to Christ, and again, with the Christian who is not leading people to Christ, and let's see the positive and the negative of both of these. Back again, if you will, in verse 2. "Every branch in me," that identifies them as being saved, "that beareth not fruit," that means they are not leading other people to Christ, "he taketh away." Now the question is, where in the world does he take them, and what does it mean when he taketh them away? Let's read on. "Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Now, let's go on down again, if you will, in verse 5. All right? In verse 5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." In verse 6, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." Now we have, according to verse 6 here and according to verse 2 here, what happens to the believer when he does not bear fruit and is not a soul winner, is not winning other people to Christ. Now, this can be done in many ways. Some have the gift of just sitting down and winning people to Christ, leading them to the Lord. Others can invite them to church. Others can be a testimony. Others can pass out tracts. But in an attempt to win that lost person to Christ should be the desire, and that is what the Lord wants each and every one of us to do, and you can do it as a Christian. Now, if you're a Christian, you sit at home every Sunday morning, you're not serving the Lord, you do not pass out tracts, you do not tell anybody about the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Lord says you're withered, and he will pluck you up. What do you mean? All right, let me give you an example, if I may. Notice in verse 6, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered." Other words, his life has no power, no strength whatsoever. When you look sometimes, you know, you'll see a flower that's cut, and we bring them into the house, put them into the vase, but after a while they begin to wither. Why? They are not connected to their root anymore. They do not draw their strength. Now, they'll go on for a while, and maybe a couple of days, and they'll appear as beautiful as the day they was cut, but then after about the third day, they'll begin to wither, and you'll find they look in a sad, sorry state. So it is with a Christian. Watch the Christian who begins to draw from God, the Christian who begins not to read his Bible, begins not to attend church, begins to drop away. You'll watch their spiritual life wither. You'll watch their attitude begin to change. And when you see this, I know as many pastors have, many other people. You may know a friend who's a Christian who has served the Lord, and then all of a sudden you begin to notice that they begin to gripe, and they begin to complain, and they begin to pick, and they begin to find this wrong. They begin this and that, and it's just not a joy to be around that type of a person. You can rest assured that person is disconnected from the strength that gave them the power to lead a Christian life, the power to have the joy in their life. They're not doing those things anymore. They're not connected. They've been disconnected from Christ because they have not dedicated to Christ. They are not serving Christ. There is Bible study lacking in their lives. There is personal prayer time lacking in their lives. And there's things that have come in there that have severed their relationship with the Lord, and therefore they begin to show the attributes of the old nature and not the new nature. Their joy is not there. You know, so many times, say this as a pastor here and talking to many other pastors, I found this, and you'll find it in church service. You know, when you find somebody, what, I don't care if they're on the board of the church or what, and you find somebody that begins to get in a backslidden condition, I'm saying this from a pastor's standpoint now, do you know what? They'll always attack concerning the church. and the pastor. Let me give you this. They will always, in talking to many other pastors, I've had the same thing, they've related the same thing, and I've related the same thing to them, and it just seems like a standard thing. You know what they'll attack? They'll want to do away with the radio broadcast in your church. They'll want to do away with the television broadcast you have. They'll want to do away with this, want to do away with that. They want to cut corners here. They want to do this and that. They'll always attack the outreach of the Lord because they themselves are not serving the Lord. They're not winning people to Christ. Now let's go back here and find out what this means here by withered and the Lord taking up. Back to verse 2, if you will. Every branch in me, the saved, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. If you do not have the spiritual outlook to want to win people to Christ, and you're in the church, maybe you're a deacon, maybe you're an elder, maybe you're a trustee, but you don't have a concern to win lost people to Christ. Oh, you go through the motions, you're through the activities, you do it spontaneously because you're supposed to do it, you're in church and one thing or another, but you're not really concerned about the lost. Then you're going to find out it's going to affect your attitude. It's going to affect the way you treat people. It's going to affect your outlook. And the only way that a Christian can be happy is seeing souls saved, is seeing people won to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a thrill it is when you invite somebody to church and then you see them led to Christ, then you see them begin to serve the Lord. What a joy it is knowing you had a part of their salvation. Now, if you're just coming to church and you're not leading anybody to Christ, and you're not having a part in anybody's salvation, you're not passing out tracts, you're going to become disgruntled. Not only that, when you have that kind of a spiritual mind, when it's not directed toward winning the lost, then you're going to find out you're going to be withered. You're going to begin to wither away as far as your spiritual outlook in the church is concerned. Not only that, you're going to find out, and let me give an example, if I may. Maybe you sing in the choir, or maybe you sing solos in the church, and God has blessed you with a tremendous voice. But maybe that your attitude has begun to change, that you like to do it for your own glory and not for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then when that begins to happen, I can tell you what's going to happen. You're going to begin, first of all, after that wears off a while, you're going to find that circumstances are going to prevail, that God is going to lift you right out of the position because he's not getting the glory. You're not really happy. You're drawing glory to yourself. That can happen in any position in the church. That can happen with any Christian who begins to get severed from the Word of God, which is the strength of your growth and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. No Christian can grow if they do not study the Word of God. It is absolutely impossible. You then, when you leave off of the Word of God, you must tie on the fruit. You must pretend you're happy when you're not. You must pretend you're joyful when you're not. And you can only do that until it runs its course, and then you begin to wither. Your attitude begins to change. Your life begins to change. The things of the world become more attractive to you. All of this, and it all begins when you sever from the root. Other words, you're not studying what God wants you to study. You're reading more of the other books of the world than you are in magazines and papers than you are the Word of God. You're spending more time in the worldly places than you are in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're spending more time with the people of the world, and pretty soon you're drawn that way instead of spending time with God's people. And then your whole attitude will begin to change. Your whole outlook will begin to change. And then you're in a position where God can no longer use you, and he'll have to pluck you out of that position and replace you with somebody else. Withered? Yes. Other people can see you being withered probably faster than you can. Most times, you'll begin to look at everybody else's wrong, and yet you'll not recognize your own spiritual condition. Now, when it says here in verse 2, every branch in me, that's the saved. If you're listening this morning and you're saved and you beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. Literally means he takes it up. Now there are two things can be applied here. If you continue on in your backsliding after God has chastened you and so forth, he can just take you up from the earth physically and take you right on into heaven and not leave you down here to go ahead and make a disgrace out of him. Another point we'd like to make is he can take you out of your position. I'll never forget, we were pastoring a church in southern Indiana a few years ago, and we had the chairman of the deacon board down there, a man that was filled with pride. and this man sang in the choir, and we were doing a cantata. We had the television cameras there the night we were putting it on, and was going out over the radio recording it for that. And anyway, this man at practice, he had one of the key solo parts. And yet at practice, when it came time, everybody sang their part. I remember being there, and it was his turn. He said, "Oh, that's all right. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. I've got it, I've got it." And, you know, just so self-confident, just so built up with pride with him. Now, he didn't have to practice it. He didn't have to do it that night. He didn't have to rehearse it. Well, on the night of the performance, when all the cameras were there, the radio station was recording it there, everybody was there. We had a packed house down there that night. Do you know what? When it came time and he stepped out from the choir to sing his solo in that cantata, I'll never forget it as long as I live. He stepped out to sing it, and you could see the pride just coming out. You know what? He forgot. His mind went blank. He stood there and couldn't even remember the first word of his solo. He stood there through the whole thing and was dumbfounded. Do you know what? God had removed him. God had taken the power off of him because of his own pride, because of his own self-sufficiency, and the joy. You talk about joy. This man didn't have any joy. He was embarrassed in front of the whole choir. It was an embarrassing situation to everyone. But I tell you this, the Lord surely knows how to make us humble, does he not? He most assuredly does. I'll never forget that night as long as I live. I'll never forget the look on that deacon's face when he stood up there to sing that solo, so self-confident. He didn't have to practice the night or two before. He didn't have to sing his. Oh, he had it. Boy, I'll tell you this. There's no one like the Lord that knows how to make you humble when you are filled with pride. No one. He wasn't interested in bearing fruit or singing for the glory of the Lord. He was going to sing for the glory of himself. And that particular night, God just made his mind blank, and he didn't sing for the glory of anything. God just interfered. Surely his life was withered. Surely God had plucked him up. It was evidence that God's hand was not upon him that particular night. Now, let's go on, if you will. So God can take us up out of a serving position in the church if we do not bear fruit, if we are withered and disconnected with the branch or the root, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's go on down, if you will, into verse 4. "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me." If you are not abiding in Christ and serving Christ, your power as a Christian is gone. I remember a man some time back told me, and I was sitting in his home, and he said he doesn't go to church, he doesn't do this or that, and he takes the social drink here and there, and was telling me how much he was witnessing to others on the job. And I told him, you can talk till you're blue in the face, but when you're not going to church and you're partaking of the social drink, which is absolutely 100% wrong, I've never seen anybody led to Christ yet over a bottle of beer. And if you want to be honest, you may excuse it and do anything you want, but it would be better for you never to, don't even tell them you're a Christian if you got a bottle of beer in your hand, because they're going to laugh you to shame and make a disgrace out of God. There's no way you can do it. And yet, do you know what? We're going to find out what men did with this man's testimony because of him not serving the Lord and not abiding in Christ. Now notice, if you will, let's go on down here in verse 6. "If a man abide in me, then he is cast forth," or "abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch of it, withered, and men gather them." Now, notice here what it says, not God, but men, men, men. This is the testimony now of a Christian who is not leading a life, not abiding in Christ, and then here's what other people do with it, what men do with it, when they hear you talk but see no substance in your life whatsoever. "Then men cast them into the fire, and they are burned." If I listen to a person, now I'll tell you this, when I listen to the person honestly, I'll tell you this, what they said about witnessing, I just took it and you could have threw it in a bonfire and burned it because it didn't have any substance to it. It was absolutely useless to sit there and tell a pastor, "Look, oh well, I drink and I do this and I do that, but I tell them about Christ, I tell them about the book of Revelation, I tell them Jesus is coming." You might as well talk to a brick wall, because men are going to grab your words and just burn them up, and they're not going to listen to them whatsoever. They're not going to last, they're going to burn up. Men, the minute they leave your house, the minute they leave you, they're just going to laugh under their breath at you, and they're because you have no substance in your life. You're not abiding in Christ. Therefore, you're not going to produce any fruit, and you're not going to lead anybody else to the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we are abiding in Christ, and I might say this goes along perfectly with the book of James. James says, if a man say that you have faith and hath not works, his faith is dead. Just as dead as if you would throw something alive into the fire, and a few minutes it's burned and it's dead. The same thing. If a man say that he have faith and hath not works, his faith is dead. What do you mean? You may have faith in Christ, but there's no sense passing that faith on and talking about Christ. If you have no foundation of works to back up what you say, then people are going to conclude that your faith is very, very weak, very, very thin, and they're not going to be impressed at all, even enough to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if Christ is not a strong enough foundation and secure enough foundation to change your life, then what in the world are they going to trust? Other words, they might as well go on and do what they're doing. You see, why trust the Lord Jesus Christ if you claim to love him and are not leading the life? Then it'll just be burned. And notice again, we'd like to say this. Men, this is your testimony. It would be better off for you to never name the name of Christ than if you're not serving the Lord Jesus Christ, because people are going to laugh at you, they're going to call you a hypocrite, they're not going to believe you, and you're not going to win anybody else to Christ. And then, not only that, men are going to take what you say, they're going to burn it up, and it doesn't amount to anything. You do more harm for the cause of Christ if you're not leading the Christian life than you'll ever do good. You'll do absolutely no good. Men will take what you say, throw it in the fire, not literally now, this is symbolic of how they treat the words that you say when you don't have the life to back it up. Now, as we go on, let's go on down here, if you will. In verse 7, if you will, it says this, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Many Christians never go to the Lord until they've quit serving the Lord. They get in such a sad condition, they're about ready to get a divorce, their lives are a mess, everything in the home is in an uproar, and then they go to the Lord, Lord, bail me out, Lord, help me out, get me out of this mess. So we said last week, one man said, Lord, I haven't bothered you for 20 years, and if you get me out of this mess, I won't bother you again for another 20 years. Well, that's not the attitude the Lord wants. He wants you to be in contact with him every day. He wants you to pray to him every day. He wants you to read his word every day. He is the vine. He is the source of strength. We're the branches, and we must draw our strength from the Word of God. We must draw our strength from reading it and the power of the Holy Spirit within us that takes that word that you read and convicts you and does everything to control your life so that you'll have the joy in your life by yielding to Christ, serving Christ, and putting him first in your life. Now, we're talking to a Christian now. You do not do these things to become a Christian after you've received Christ by faith. No works involved at all. Then you become a child of God. God, as many as received him, to them gave he the right or the power to become a child of God. John 1:12. But after you're a Christian, your problems aren't all solved. Yes, you're going to heaven. You have eternal life, and you have that security. Christ will never go back on that. But now comes the point, what are you going to do with your life since you've become a Christian, since your faith is in Christ? Then the battle is really on. This chapter shows and instructs the Christian that if you abide in me, you'll win other people to Christ. When you abide in me, your life will change. You will yield to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and then you find out you will not be withered. When you say something that Christ has helped you, Christ is the only way to heaven, and they see a change in your life, they know that what you say has substance to it. They know it's real. They know it's alive. And they know that your life isn't withered. And not only that, God's hunting disciples, Christians that are dedicated to serve him. This world has torn Christians to pieces in the last 10, 15 years by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We're in the countdown coming down to the rapture of the church, and God's hunting Christians who are dedicated to him to get the job done, to be on the deacon board, to sing in the choir, to have an office in the church, that are dedicated not to seek glory for themselves, but to give all glory to their Savior, the Lord Jesus. Therefore, if they have the right spiritual attitude, their strength is drawn from Christ. They are connected to the vine. They are reading the Word of God. They have the spiritual outlook and the spiritual discernment and the spiritual judgment by putting on the mind of Christ, saturated by the Word of God. Then they have an interest in lost people going to hell. Their lives are changed. And then what they say, people listen to it, and they lost people are influenced. They're abiding in Christ, and you will produce much fruit.